It's time for TY's 20 right here on WordPress Radio. And I'd like to welcome sports fans around the country who are tuning in to my first sports podcast. It's great to be with you. I've been looking forward to getting the show started, and 2011 is here. So is the podcast, and I'm ready to dive right in. For those who don't know, I am an avid follower of sports, and the teams that I will be covering the most are the Chicago Cubs, the Indianapolis Colts, the Indiana Pacers, and the Indiana Hoosiers. But the show is not limited to just those teams. We'll be having lots of news, discussion, and talks about sports in general. And if you go to the blog page, you'll find detailed information on the where, the when, and the what from these podcasts. Well, this time of year, the thing that is on everybody's minds in the sports world is the NFL playoffs. Last night, the Indianapolis Colts clinched their 7th division title in the last 8 years, their 9th straight postseason appearance, which ties an NFL record, and they also have now had double-digit victories for 9 straight years. And I gotta tell you, Colts fans like myself have been spoiled by Peyton Manning and company. But all year long, I've heard how the Colts are having a down year, and Peyton Manning is past his prime, and yada, yada, yada. I'm going to tell you right now, I did not start this show just so I could brag about my sports teams. But you got to give the Indianapolis Colts mad props for what they've been able to accomplish. And this year, with more key injuries than I've ever seen a team had to deal with, they still managed to become the 3 seed in the stacked AFC, and it's pretty amazing. In a few minutes, we're going to talk playoffs, and I'll bring in my first guest of the show. But I've got a few more things I want to say about the Colts first. First of all, Peyton Manning, with another incredible year. He had that 3-game stretch where he threw 11 interceptions, and everybody thought, oh, all of a sudden his career was on the downward spiral. Well, let me give you some statistics to chew on a little bit. This season, Peyton Manning threw for the same amount of touchdowns, he threw for more yards, more completions, and only one more interception than last season when he won the MVP award. If you don't believe me, go check the stats out for yourself. This year, he had next to nothing to work with. You know, I feel like on most days, I could have been the number 3 receiver for the Colts. You just look at the names. Dallas Clark, Anthony Gonzalez, Austin Colley, all on the IR. Joseph Addai missed most of the season. Those are some huge weapons that Peyton did not have, and he still put up those numbers. And for those of you thinking about his interceptions, he threw 17 interceptions total this year out of 682 pass attempts. Amazing. I'm going to have more about Peyton Manning in the future podcasts. We'll get into the whole Manning versus Brady debate, among other things. But I just wanted to say this on my first show. Hats off to number 18 for another incredible season. Now, one more quick Colts topic to discuss. I was browsing the internet a few days ago, and I came across a Colts message board. Now, we all know message boards don't mean much. They don't depict how the entire fan base is by any means. But the thread was labeled the following. Playoffs or no playoffs, should Jim Caldwell be fired? Now, let me just say this. That is one of the most insane things I've ever heard in sports by fans. If you're a Colts fan and you're listening to this, and you honestly believe that Jim Caldwell should be fired, I want you to look in the mirror, take your right hand, and slap yourself. Last year, Caldwell became just the 3rd coach in the history of the NFL to lead his team to the Super Bowl in his rookie season. And the following year, he takes a team that's probably playing at about 60% health-wise and still guides them to 10 wins and a playoff trip. And there are people who believe he should be fired. I believe this is utterly ridiculous. You know, you can say what you want about Caldwell. Oh, he took over Dungy's players. Oh, he's got Peyton Manning. This is really Peyton Manning's team. Well, guess what? This was Peyton's team when Dungy was here too. It will always be Peyton's team, and that's just the way it is. To me, my opinion, Jim Caldwell's job will forever be safe in Indianapolis unless, in my opinion, the Colts were to miss out on the playoffs in two consecutive seasons. Fat chance of that ever happening as long as Peyton Manning's around. So there you go. Had my first Colts rant. Had to get a few things off my chest. I'm going to take a quick break, and when we come back, my first guest will join me, and we'll dive into the NFL playoffs. Stay with us.
I want to discuss something important.
Is it about New Orleans football?
You know it. You listen to the St. Stephen's show with me and St. Bernard.
Well, yeah, who that?
I have a question about Carolina.
Who that? Drew Brees.
Who are you?
Stuck in a bad relationship with sports radio? Switch to ESPN Radio for the best sports on the dial.
Alright, who's that?
Dirk Nowitzki.
No, you're good.
Okay, who's this?
Terry Stroke?
All right, it's time to bring in my first guest. Our NFL expert's on assignment this week. Couldn't be with us today. We hope to get him back next week. But our first guest plays in the IBL. He's a good balance off of me because he likes a lot of the teams that I hate. And when he's not being a homer, he can bring some good sports knowledge to the discussion. He's going to be a frequent guest on the show, unless, of course, he starts hurting the ratings. Tyler Sickmeyer, good to have you.
Hey, good to be here. First off, just want to say the Chicago Cubs suck. And now that we have that out of the way, let's talk some football.
All right. Well, NFL playoffs. First of all, I want to say congratulations to your St. Louis Rams, despite the Cubs' comment. They had a great year. They barely missed the playoffs. But tell me, how was it being a St. Louis Rams fan this year?
You know what? It's kind of like I liken it to dating a girl that you know is too hot for you to date. Because you know it's not going to end well eventually. But you just have to try and enjoy the ride while it lasts. And that's really what we as Rams fans did this year. I was torn back at the draft whether we should have taken Ndamukong Suh or Sam Bradford. Thankfully, we did the right thing and took Bradford, and he's been nothing short of great for us, even though his numbers weren't impressive when you compare him with a Brady or a Manning or even an Aaron Rodgers this year. Those numbers will come in time, and when you compare his rookie season to the rookie seasons of some guys like Peyton Manning, who I know you're a big fan of, and
just a little bit,
and Tom Brady, and Tom Brady's rookies, he compares favorably with every other quarterback in the league during their rookie season. And this is not to mention that the Rams don't have a single wide receiver on their roster. We have some guys that suit up and line up in the wide receiver slots, but we don't actually have a single wide receiver right now. As bad as the receiving core was to start the year, our top two or three receivers were out injured for most of the year. And so we had guys that were off of other teams' practice squads lining up as our second and third string receivers. So hopefully the Rams this offseason will spend their first two or three draft picks on receivers, and Sam Bradford will have someone to throw to next year. So, I mean, we didn't have Super Bowl expectations, but there were several games this year that we should have won that we didn't, that were just frustrating, especially the first two games of the year. We lost to the Arizona Cardinals at home, and we lost on the road to the Raiders. Those are both winnable games. We should have beaten the Buccaneers. We choked away a lead late in that game. So we should have beaten the Bucs. There's three wins right there. And I'd be willing to say that we should have beaten the 49ers in San Francisco, and we should have beaten Seattle last night. Those were four winnable games right there. This easily could have been a 10-win team if we just pull out three of the four. So, and I'd also like to thank the Chicago Bears for choking one up at home that gave the Seahawks the postseason. We didn't take care of business, but definitely a bummer that a 10 or 11 win Chicago Bears team misfired at home against probably the worst road team to ever make the playoffs.
All right, well, that's a good recap. Let's keep in mind, though, this is only a 20-minute program, all right? All right, so the next topic, we want to talk about the NFL playoffs. The Saints and Seahawks, I don't know about you. For me personally, I don't think it's even worth talking about. I think the Saints are going to handle them pretty easily. What do you think?
Well, as you know, it's windy up here in Kankakee, so I've got something to say about everything. But I think it's going to be a lot closer than what people are saying. The Saints are definitely going to win this game, but it would definitely be worth looking at to bet the Seahawks with the spread on this, because the Seahawks are going to play with nothing to lose. They are playing at home where they are a significantly stronger team. And again, they're somewhat healthy. Charlie Whitehurst didn't do a terrible job managing that game for him yesterday versus a Saints team that just lost three players Sunday in a meaningless game against the Buccaneers. So with health questions for the Saints and with a Seahawks team that's playing with nothing to lose, like I said, this could be one of those games where you see them fake a punt on their own 20-yard line because they've got nothing to lose. So all that said, I think it'll be closer than it should be, but the Saints will definitely pull that game out.
Yeah, the Saints are favored by 10.5. Sports Nation has 96% saying the Saints are going to win, but interesting points about the Seahawks. You know, once they get to the playoffs, anything can happen, but we'll see what happens. That game is Saturday at 4:30. Next game we're going to talk about, to me, is the most intriguing matchup. It's the Eagles and the Packers in Philadelphia. What do you think?
Honestly, I think it's going to come down to the Eagles' offensive line. If they're able to handle the rush schemes that the Packers' defense is going to throw at them, then they'll be okay. If not, it's going to be a rough day because we don't know how healthy Mike Vick is. We don't know how healthy DeSean Jackson is. We don't know how healthy Asante Samuels is. And with all these question marks around the Eagles and the Packers definitely have that momentum that you hate to see as an opposing team where they're riding high coming into the playoffs, even if they are a low seed. Definitely one of the better six seeds we've seen in recent years from this Packers team. I don't know how they choked up the division to the Bears, to be honest. And that's no knock to a good Bears team. I just think the Packers are that good. So it could go either way. A lot of it, I think, though, is going to come down to that Eagles offensive line.
Yeah, both teams are kind of limping in a little bit. The Packers barely beating the Bears there, and Philadelphia losing to Minnesota. Also losing last week, although Vic didn't play. I've kind of been agonizing over this decision, but I'm honestly going to pick Green Bay in a close one. I just think their defense is too good.
You know what? I'm gonna go with the home team here and pick the Eagles. Just, but I would pick Green Bay if it was in Green Bay. I think it's gonna be that close of a game.
All right. The two Tylers coming at you live on TY's 20 right here on WordPress Radio. Next game we're gonna talk about is Baltimore and Kansas City. Kansas City, I'll note first of all, had a 7-1 home record this year. But Baltimore seems to be heavily favored in the eyes of the public. What do you think, Sickmeyer?
I think that any team whose star defensive player is secure in showing himself on national TV in bubbles is definitely capable of winning on the road in the NFL playoffs. I'm going to pick the Ravens in this one.
Short and quick. Short and sweet, I should say. That's far from what you are as a person, but anyway. Moving on, a lot of the viewers of this show would like to know how we feel about the Colts. And I got to tell you, I'm kind of surprised by Sports Nation. 78% think the Colts are going to win this game. Now, I'm an avid Colts fan, very proud of what they've been able to accomplish over the years, and especially this year with all the injuries. But I'm not sold that they can beat the Jets. Now, Peyton Manning is 5-1 against Rex Ryan. But this is going to be a tough game.
Oversized cardboard cutouts of bare feet to the stadium. I think that'll be a great distraction for Rex Ryan, and that he won't be able to focus on the game and stopping Peyton Manning, which he hasn't been good at doing anyways. And I'll tell you, I've had a bad taste in my mouth about this Jets team ever since the preseason, and just never really felt like they were capable of doing what everyone else said they were and what Rex Ryan certainly stated that they were. And they've kind of underachieved all year, and I'd expect them to underachieve against a very beatable and injured Colts team. And I think that the Jets will choke this one up, and the Colts will move on for a road game.
Well, I hope you're right, but it's going to be a very interesting weekend. This is a great time of year to talk about NFL. Sick, we've got about 45 seconds for you. I want you to briefly describe something you're looking forward to in 2011.
Okay, 2011, the NBA playoffs are going to be fun to watch, especially since the East has kind of balanced itself back out with the Heat becoming relevant and the Celtics reloading and the Magic reloading. I think it's going to be a fun playoffs, although I will say this, I almost guarantee you that the Heat will make the NBA Finals this year, mainly because the league wants them to, and what that would mean for ratings. And I'm not saying that the NBA is rigged, but I will say this. There are certain referees that get along better with certain coaches than others, and it's funny how some of the scheduling of referees comes out in the NBA playoffs.
Is that a guarantee by your standards or by Rasheed Wallace's standards?
That would be my standards, which are slightly higher than Rasheed Wallace's guarantees. So that'd be one thing to look at. And the other 2011 prediction, the NFL will not have a lockout. They'll reach a new collective bargaining agreement. And much to my dismay as a professional basketball player, even though I don't play in the NBA, it will trickle down and affect me. The NBA will have a lockout. I'd almost guarantee it.
Another guarantee. That's what I like to hear. All right, well, it's great to have you on the show, Sick Meyer. Make sure you clip those toenails, and we'll see you next time.
Sounds great. Be sure to forward me that Brett Favre text you just got.
Alrighty, man. Take care.
You too.
Alright, now we got some time. We're going to take a couple callers. I got a couple guys that have been on hold for a bit. So, caller number one, what's up?
Hey, T.Y.
Hey.
This is Tyler from Indiana, and I just want to say I love your show.
Thank you.
My question is, I was wanting to know when the Pacers are going to get rid of Jim O'Brien. And if they do, who do you feel like would be a great person to be the head coach for Indiana?
On record as saying I've never wanted a coach of one of my teams fired more than I want Jim O'Brien fired for the Indiana Pacers. And that includes when Dusty Baker was managing the Cubs. To answer your question, however, I don't think Jim gets fired this season. Larry Bird has said numerous times that the Pacers are on a 3-year rebuilding plan. And if you are rebuilding and you have a plan, you typically don't fire the coach until the plan is no longer a plan. And right now, despite their below 500 record, right now they're a playoff team. We'll see if that lasts. They've got a tough schedule coming up. But, you know, it would be difficult to fire a guy for a guy like Larry Bird when you're currently in the playoff race, and that's one of your goals for the season. To answer the second part of your question, though, I think Mark Jackson is a guy that a lot of the Pacer fans are interested in. Most NBA experts feel like he's going to get a job eventually, so why not give him a shot here? Mike Brown is another name that is sure to come up if Joe Biz ever fired. It'd be interesting to see how Mike Brown would coach without LeBron James on his team, but to be honest, I just want a guy who doesn't make insanely idiotic decisions like O'Brien, and I'd be happy with that. All right, next caller.
Hey, Tyler. This is Ben from Indianapolis.
What's up, Ben?
My question about the Pacers is, what is up with Jim O'Brien? Like, his rotation are so screwed up. We played Paul George for 2 minutes on Wednesday night against the Wizards when we're, like, totally losing in the fourth quarter. Then he gets 18 minutes, has a great game on Friday against the Wizards at home, and now today, we started Foster, Granger, Dunleavy, Rush, and Collison.
Well, how about that? We've got yet another Jim O'Brien basher. Good stuff. Well, Ben, I'm right there with you. I think Jim O'Brien has two main knocks about him. His rotations never make any sense, as you mentioned, and he consistently gets out-coached in the fourth quarter of games. And, you know, you got a feel for the players. I mean, take a guy like Paul George, like you mentioned, who could literally start one game and then be in street clothes the very next game and on the inactive list. But I'm going to suggest, I think it's even more than the rotations is his inability to win close games as a coach. You take last night's game, for example. The Pacers lost to the Knicks in New York. Darren Collison, the Pacer point guard, had 20 points, 6 rebounds, and 6 assists after 3 quarters. He was shooting very efficiently. He was not turning the ball over. And he did not play in the fourth quarter of a close game until 3.5 minutes to go. So my question is, where was he for the first 8.5 minutes of the fourth quarter? You know, that's your starting point guard, probably your second or third best player on the team. Absolutely makes no sense. If it were me, I would have fired him a couple years ago. Thanks for your call. If you want to call in, be a guest on the show, or ask questions for the show, you can follow me on Twitter, at sports_tys_20, or you can check out our blog page, and we'd love to have you, your questions, or whatever you want to do. Quick break, back.
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't.
Okay, what are you guys doing?
We're trying to decide if dibs beats I saw it first does.
Wait, what?
Well, there's only one double-double left for our lunch meeting, and I saw it first.
No, therefore, it's mine.
No, I called dibs, yes, which means the double-double should go to me. It's in the rule book.
You dress funny.
I'm telling. Okay. Children, listen. There's only one way to handle this.
Staring contest.
No. Rock, paper, scissors.
No. Boys, the only grown-up way to handle this is for... Whoa! Hang on, you guys! What is that over there?
What?
Where?
Hey, where's she going?
Dude, I think she just took the last double-double.
That's so hot.
Yeah.
There's a front. I get it.
For the In-N-Out nearest you, call toll-free 1-800-786-1000.
Welcome back to TY's 20. It's time for the segment of the week that is entitled Bold Statement of the Week. Every week, it's pretty self-explanatory. I'm going to come up with something Jim Rome-esque, if you will. And my bold statement of the week, I'm sticking with the topic of the Indiana Pacers. This is probably not going to make a whole lot of Pacer fans happy, to be honest with you. But my bold statement of the week is this. Danny Granger is not a top 30 basketball player in the NBA. And I have a lot of different reasons. I watch him very closely. I'm a huge Pacer fan. My biggest concern with Danny Granger is that he's not a clutch basketball player. Now, every once in a while, he'll hit some big shots. Every once in a while, he'll have a good fourth quarter. But he is far from a closer in the NBA. And I've got some statistics to prove it. This year, Danny Granger, in Pacer wins, he's averaging 25 points per game, and he's shooting 50% from the field. In losses, Danny Granger is averaging 17 points a game, and he's shooting 35%. Now, the Pacers lose more than they win, so you do the math there. And they lose a lot of close games. So in all the losses, Danny Granger, not shooting very well, about 31% in fourth quarters of games. Last year, more of the same. I looked up the numbers. He was averaging 28 points per game in the wins. Still pretty good of an average of 21 points per game in his losses, but he was only shooting, again, 38% from the field in Pacer losses last season, and they lost a bunch of games last year. Contrast that with Kobe Bryant. Now, obviously, Kobe Bryant, I believe, is the best player in the NBA, so it's probably not the fairest comparison, but he was, of course, an NBA champion last year. In Laker wins last season, Kobe averaged 27.1 points per game. And in losses, he averaged 26.8. That shows you the consistency of Kobe Bryant. And yesterday against the Knicks, Granger was on fire through the first three quarters. In the fourth quarter, he goes 1-for-6 from the field. The Knicks got a technical foul, and Danny Granger missed the technical free throw. And he also had two turnovers. Now, I was bashing O'Brien earlier in the show. O'Brien gets a lot of the blame for lots of the close losses for the Pacers, and it's very well deserved, trust me. But I hate to say it, I'm a huge Danny Granger fan. He's obviously, you know, currently my favorite player in the NBA. Mr. Granger deserves a lot of the blame as well. A Dime magazine listed Danny Granger coming into this season as the number 19 go-to player in the NBA. And hate to say it, but my bold statement of the week is Danny Granger is not even close to that. Now, I do think the criticism of him is a little bit unfair, which is why I think the Pacers and Larry Bird need to go get some help for him. You got to remember, Danny Granger was the 17th overall pick. He was never expected to be this good, and Danny Granger can light up the scoreboard. He is proven. He can score lots of points. So maybe the criticism of him is not entirely fair. Maybe he just needs some help. Larry Bird, I hope you're listening. All right, cue the music. Whenever you hear this music, it means we're going to have a countdown of some kind. And as the new year has just started, it's always a good chance to look back at the previous year. So this is going to be kind of one of those end-of-year reviews, and here's how it's going to work. I'm going to share my personal top five favorite sports moments of 2010. obviously I'll be a little bit biased towards my own sports teams, and also my personal not top five of 2010. Then I'll give a top five list of the sports world in general. So here we go. In my top five, starting at number five, I had to put this. I won yet another NCAA tournament pool in 2010. That's my fifth tournament pool victory in the last 8 years. And you know what? I've got the microphone. It's my show. I get a chance to brag a little bit. My biggest pick was West Virginia over John Wall in Kentucky, and it worked out, thankfully. Number four on my top five, my personal top five, is a wonderful year of recruiting for the Indiana Hoosiers. Next year, landing Cody Zeller in the 2011 class is going to be huge for the team. And the 2012 class might be the best class to ever come to Indiana. So I'm very excited about that. More about that in the future, of course. Number three on my personal top five list of 2010 is the return of Kerry Wood to the Cubs. And this happened just before the new year. Cubs fans know what I'm talking about here. My favorite pitcher of all time. So excited that he's back. Number two on my list, Area 55. Myself and 54 other Pacer fans won season tickets thanks to Roy Hibbert's contest, and it's been an amazing experience to go to all the games. Now, we're also going to have more about Area 55 on a later show. But number one for me in 2010, my personal top five moments, number one is the AFC Championship for the Colts. Now, people forget sometimes how hard it is just to get to the Super Bowl. Now, even though the Colts lost in the Super Bowl, winning a conference championship was my personal top moment in the sports world in 2010. Now I'm going to go to my personal not top five of 2010. I wish I could say Jim O'Brien for all five of these, but since I can't, I'm just going to say him one time. Number five, Jim O'Brien is still the coach of the Indiana Pacers, therefore he makes my list. Number four on my not top five, USA loses to Canada in overtime at the Olympics. A heartbreaking defeat. Number three, some people may argue that this was a 2009 thing, but I'm still bitter about it, so I'm going to use it for 2010. Jim Caldwell's decision to take the starters out and give up a perfect season. I gave Caldwell a lot of praise earlier in the show, but that decision still haunts my dreams to this day. The Colts had a chance to go undefeated. Number two, same kind of theme, the onside kick in the Super Bowl. If Hank Basket can just catch the ball that hit him right in the chest, probably would have been a completely different game. And we could be sitting here talking about Peyton's second ring. You never know. And my personal not top moment of 2010, none other than the decision by LeBron James. Couldn't stand how it was done. Couldn't stand that he went to play with other superstars. Every bit of it. Couldn't stand it. So now I got my personal top five and not top five moments of the year out of the way. Now I'm going to give my opinion on the sports world in general's top five moments of 2010. Number five, the year of the pitcher in baseball. There was a lot of perfect games, a lot of no-hitters, a lot of amazing postseason performances, and as much as everyone likes the home run ball, and we hear that chicks dig the long ball, pitching in baseball is key, and it was awesome to see pitching coming back a little bit. As a former pitcher myself, I really appreciated it. Number four, Lakers and Celtics, Game 7. Over half of the NBA finals in its history has featured either the Lakers or the Celtics or both. That's just amazing. And they went to a Game 7. It was a great game, so that's number four on my list. Number three, I listed droughts ending for teams like the San Francisco Giants, the Chicago Blackhawks, and the New Orleans Saints. Really good stories. As a Cubs fan, I just hope and pray that the longest drought of them all one day is broken, so I could appreciate the droughts of those other teams being broken in 2010. Number two on my list is the return of Michael Vick. An amazing story. He's an MVP candidate. He's been phenomenal to watch, even better than his Atlanta days, in my opinion. And it's been great. And for me, the number one top sports moment in 2010 was the near-perfect game by Armando Galarraga of the Detroit Tigers. His reaction when Jim Joyce blew the call at first base, the forgiveness the amazing attitude, the amazing story that came out of that near-perfect game, that is my number one sports moment of 2010. We got to take one more break. We'll be back to close out the show when we come back.
So what do you like for tonight's game?
This game will be two gladiators gladiating it out. This game is going to be an angry baby, a woman scorned, a tornado inside a volcano, a cackling witch.
This game... Stuck in a bad relationship with sports radio? Switch to ESPN Radio for the best sports on the dial.
You know, with the addition of a closer, I think it can really strengthen their bull. Amazing.
It's a new shirt.
Time to close out the first show. Sorry, Cubs fans, we didn't get a chance to talk about the Cubs offseason moves. Didn't have enough time in today's show, but we'll get to that next week. But we do have a Twitter question from a Cub fan. In fact, its Twitter address is CubbyFan161. Wants to know if the Cubs have enough money to land Matt Garza. I do believe they have enough money. They signed Kerry Wood for $1.5 million. They signed Carlos Pena for $10 million, but a lot of that money is deferred into 2011. So I do believe they have the money to do it. I believe they have the prospects to do it. It's just a matter of whether or not Jelly Roll Jim Henry is willing to part with three or four prospects to get it done. So we'll see what happens. Much more on next week's show. Thanks so much for tuning in. And as Harry Carey would always say, only the shadow knows. See you next time.